great desires of a pure heart. We are thankful to announce to you new members today, and Neil and Kathleen Darnell, if would you stand for a moment? Do you see Neil and Kathleen? They are placing membership with us, and we'll say more about them next week. But they're a wonderful couple. We love them. We're proud they're going to be here with us. I remember when we were little, up in Illinois and Indiana, we had a lot of great snows, some really great snows. And one of the things I loved to do, Wayne, was to eat snow cream. And I remember, I think, the ingredients. They would take sugar and vanilla flavoring and milk and a lot of stirring. I don't know if anything else goes into it, but wow, nothing like it. Little did I know I was polluting my body. I know they never selected yellow snow. And I know that. I know they selected real pure white snow, and I thought it was clean, but we live pretty close to Chicago. So that's, yeah, no telling what all I did. The doctor probably one day will say, you've got this, and it was from snow cream. Yeah, and that's it. But we're interested in pure water, right? People will pay a lot of money. There's, about $2.5 billion water purifiers. You know, it's just incredible. People need pure water. And there's a lot of effort put forth to have pure water, pure drinking water. And what about pure food? You know, that's going to be one of the things that's going to be fought over. Wars are going to be fought over water. I think Georgia and Alabama is going to have a war. You know, or maybe Florida will get into it. But terrible things are going to happen in this century over water. Governor Schwarzenegger talking about we need a 20% reduction. And water has not been a real problem to us because we're such a massive land. But things are changing. It's been a problem in other areas. Food, like the peanut butter scare. And then companies doing things and not looking after your best interests. So we're interested in clean, pure food and pure air to breathe because we need it. You see, our physical health is dependent upon pure air, food, water. But as Bob said a little while ago, that's not the most important. You think about it like this. We are deceiving ourselves. We're being tricked into thinking that the physical is the most important. And we put most of the emphasis there. But the Lord says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Observe life long enough, and we're going to see that in the external, there's death. Life is really in the internal. And so he says, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you want to have a life of happiness? Well, it's a heart condition. It's a condition of the heart. And he's right. He's saying to us, you want to have an abundant life, an overflowing life, a full life, a fulfilled life, a life of peace and of shalom and of alignment. And you want to have this kind of life? Here's what you do. And he's telling us that in his sermon, his great sermon on the Mount. But we miss it because our emphasis is external. We fall into the trap of the Pharisees that Bob was reading about a moment ago because they were falling into the trap that man has fallen into for a long time of setting his standards of goodness based upon the worst of other people. So a guy says, listen, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I'm not a rapist. What's he doing? He's saying, I'm pretty good because look, as I look around at others, then I'm not like they are. The Pharisees were bit shocked when the Lord cut right through all of that, because he's saying, listen, do not look around at others, and especially don't look down upon others. God is saying, you better look up to me, and you better look within, because he is the standard of goodness. It is the pure-hearted one. And he's saying, if you're going to see me, then you're going to need to be like me. John Michael's going to come and read the scripture to us today. John, would you come read?
I'll be reading from Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Well, there's something very appropriate about a young person reading that scripture. God looks upon pure hearts. And he wants our heart to be like John Michael's. I guarantee you. He's looking into our hearts right now. So would you work with me? It's not a passive activity that we're involved in. I was reading the Lord again several times this week as he wanted people to work with him as they were studying together. This is an action here. This is an effort that we put forth, because the greatest problem we have, the greatest killer is heart, is a problem of the heart. It's a heart condition. So the Lord is giving us then these great beatitudes. Here's the Pharisees, and they are those who, they're putting their emphasis on the externals. Matthew 23:23, he pointedly gave an illustration about them paying the tithe of these little tiny leaves, these little herbal leaves. They would pay 10% of dill or of mint, or of dill, or anise, or of cumin. They would pay the 10% of that, but look what they were leaving undone. They were neglecting justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are the weightier provisions or matters of the law. You see how deceived they had become. They had deceived themselves. They're all about hand washing and all about the cup and the platter, but they're missing the greater meaning. And so the Lord is going straight to that with this attitude of the heart, which would determine the actions of the hands. He's saying there's to be an exquisite, yeah, I selected that word carefully, an exquisite attitude within you, pure. In the Greek language, the scholars tell us that it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they alone, they only will see God. I believe that. There's a lot of people who write a lot of books, and they like to clean up all of these verses, and they like to get you not really to think that way. But we don't even have to have the Greek words in that sense. We can just read it in the English, and it will be a consistent theme throughout the Bible. I will guarantee you, I'll stand behind it 100%, that Jesus meant exactly what he said in Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Don't clean it up. Just leave it for what he said. What we need to do is not try to clean up God, not try to clean up his word. We need to clean up on the inside. They shall see God. So the Pharisees are neglecting the weightier matters of the law. And he's coming straight at them when he's talking about these things. And what he's saying is, you have to have all of these attitudes. We can't just pick one of them. They interlock. So Matthew 5 and verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, interlocks with the one we're studying today, the poor, the pure in heart. Because it's like this, the person who sheds those penitent tears for their sins, it will cleanse their heart. And that person will turn to God for the purity that only he can give. But they in turn are being active, not passive, with him. They are actively pursuing that pure heart. And those who actively pursue that purity in their mind, in their thinking, in will, in that decision-making part of themselves, with their feelings, with their emotions, they will see God. They'll see Him. So Matthew 5:8 is really a condensation of Psalm number 24. In Psalm 24, he talks about the earth and how it is God's. And all that it contains, it's His. The world and all those who dwell in it. Because He's founded it upon the seas and He has established it upon the rivers. And then He asks two questions that every person wants the answer to. The first question is, who is going to ascend into his hill? And who will stand on the holy place, His holy place? He answers it. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He gives you two examples there in verse 4 of the actions of his heart. And he says this person's going to receive a blessing from the Lord and he will have the righteousness of the God of his salvation. He will and the others will not. So here's where we are today. A great emphasis is placed upon the environment. Great emphasis is placed upon having the pure water and food and air. As if that's our problem. And the Lord's saying our problem is not without, our problem is within. And to prove that, I want to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Our first parents' first home. How was the water supply? How was the food supply? The nutrients and the value of that food would sustain them. I believe they would never die. How was their air? Unpolluted. But where'd the problem come from? It was a heart condition. They began to think evil thoughts, and those evil thoughts manifested themselves in evil actions. They partook of the forbidden fruit and they corrupted themselves. They now have the wickedness, the evil thoughts. The problem never was in their environment because it was a perfect environment. The problem is their heart because we're made free moral, with free moral agency and we can think and we have to actively, not passively, be involved in the purity of this thinking part of our heart. I want you to think about this heart with me for a moment. What does it mean? What does this mean? What part of us? Is it that organ that pumps the blood throughout our system that's vital to our life? Well, the wise man said in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, he said, as he thinketh in his heart, so it's the heart that thinks, not the heart that beats that he's talking about. And the heart that thinks will influence our feelings, our emotions. The heart that thinks will influence our will, our decision-making process. When you look at the discussion that occurred with the Lord with a multitude of people in Mark chapter 7 and verse 14, he began to explain to them. He called the multitude to himself, and then he said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man that enters into him that defiles him, but it's that which proceeds from within the man that defiles him. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And so leaving the multitude, he entered the house, and the disciples came in, and they questioned him again about this parable. And he says to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Understand this. It's not that which enters into the man that defiles him, because it cannot go into his heart. Listen to him. But it goes into his stomach and it's eliminated. He said, so he was saying that all food is clean. And he said to them, it is that which proceeds out of the man that defiles him. For from within, listen to him. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Now what will they do? The evil thoughts will produce themselves in evil actions. So there's fornications. There's having sexual relationships outside the bond of marriage. It's an unholy thing, and God will judge it. Fornicators will be judged into hell unless they seek His forgiveness. But we're practicing that all across the nation. It's deadly. There are those who will steal from people. Where did it begin? It began in the heart with the thinking. There are those who will murder people. Where did it begin? The evil thinking. You see, that's the part of the heart. It influences the feelings. It influences the emotions. It influences the decision-making part, your will. It'll manifest itself in adulteries. People committing adultery, sexual relations with married people. Adulterers will go to hell unless they seek the forgiveness of Almighty God. Scripture's clear about it. But we want to clean everything up. There's no cleaning it up. He can clean us up. But we have to surrender, actively pursue this purity with the Father. Engage our minds. Jesus is talking about clean thinking. Engage our minds. He goes on to tell you about the deeds. There's deeds of coveting and deeds that are of wickedness. But you see in that discussion, the whole world needs Mark 7, 14 through 23, because he's explaining the heart of the problem, the heart of the matter. Is that which proceeds from us. So here's the heart, and here's the purity. The purity that he's seeking in us is a purity of integrity and of sincerity and of cleanliness. There's no crack in this heart that we're trying to cover up from his sight. He says, "Blessed are they that are pure in heart, they shall see God." I want you to think for a moment about this seeing, the seeing part. No one can see God because he's invisible. And yet Moses saw him who is invisible. Hebrews 11, 27. How did he see him? He saw him by faith. He saw him from a pure heart, a sincere heart. They spoke to Helen Keller and they said, "Isn't it sad to be blind?" She said, "No, something worse than that." She said, "I would rather be able to see with the heart, though I can't see with the eyes. That's to have two good eyes and not see at all." There's a sense in which you can see God now in a way those who do not have the spiritual insight cannot see him. Spiritual sight will lead to spiritual insight. You'll see his hand in creation. You'll see his hand in even in this culture. You'll see his providential hand working. You'll see he hasn't left you. You pray and you'll see his answers to your prayers. You will see God. But not just now. But one day you'll see him face to face. 2 John 3 and verse 2. What a day that will be when our Jesus will see. We don't know what we're going to be like, but we know we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. Just the other day with Chris Cagle, that's her favorite song. Her family's gathered around her bed singing, "What a Day That Will Be." She will see him. The pure in heart are going to see him. We want to see him. So how do you maintain a pure heart? Work with me for just a moment. How do you maintain that pure heart? Well, the first thing is remember that God sees everything and he knows everything. So there's no need to try to fool God. So if we just quit trying to fool him and put on the show, then we're working to allow him, we're surrendering ourselves to allow him to purify us deep within our hearts. He sees everything, but that should be an encouragement and a strength to us. And then we have to look at our motives. We need to review our motives because that's why we do what we do as Christians. The Lord gave us in chapter 6 three ways to review your motives. The first was your giving. He says, consider your giving. Are we doing it? Are we sounding the trumpet? Do we want people to look at us and bring the praise of men to us? And then there was your praying. He said, do you get out in the middle of the Beltline Road on a busy Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock to have your quiet time? Our praying. What about our fasting? He's saying, well, are you sacrificing for me in secret? You see, chapters 6, verse 4 and 6 and 18, over and over again, the Lord says, the Father who sees in secret, He'll reward you openly. Here are the tests of a pure heart. What about our giving, our praying, and our fasting? What's the attitude of the heart? This whole sermon is building itself upon the internal attitudes that He wants to be exquisite in our life, which will produce exquisite actions in our daily lives where people will say, there's a Christian. You say, how do you know? Look at her attitude. Look at her actions. They match up to Christ. And then our priorities. Number three, our priorities. Realign our priorities. What about our activities? There's two practical areas by which we can check our activities and see if they're aligning with God's priority. One is the checkbook. What are we spending our money for? Just take your checkbook. It's tax time. Review all the expenditures and see, are they lining up with God's priority? And the other is our calendar. How did we expend our time? They're very simple, and they will tell the story. So the Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God. Are we? He says, set your affections on the things that are above. Colossians 3:2. Are we? Those two little tools will tell us. You say, how's our heart condition? Those are the barometers. And then look at our anxieties. It has been said that worry is our greatest enemy. It certainly is a great and formidable foe. Someone says when you worry, you are paying interest to tomorrow's troubles before it's due. He said it's like a rocking chair. You get in the rocking chair and it takes a lot of energy to get it going, but it gets you nowhere. Worry will kill us. What's one of the great worries? Well, the Lord gave five of them in Matthew 6, and we're going to look at them later in this series on the Sermon on the Mount. But in Matthew 6 and verse 24, he talks about finances. And that is a great concern for our nation and great concern for our families. He talks in verse 25 about food. And again, it's a great concern, the sustenance of life. He talks in verse 27 about fitness, in verse 28 about our fashion, verse 34 about our future. The Lord knows we have concerns about all these things. But again, He's reiterating, if you'll be pleased with His praises and make His priority your priority, all these things will be added to us. You see, there'll be a life worth living. There's the concerns about the physical life, but there'll be a life worth living down here if we'll listen and follow Him. So we have our ambitions as well. Do they align with His ambition for your life? You have a dream. Is it His dream for your life? Do they line up? So what's the motivation? He says, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Are you conscious right now that God sees into your heart? Are you conscious that He is looking deep within your heart right now? And as you're conscious of that, does it bring you great comfort? It was not meant to bring you fear. It's meant to bring you great comfort. Will you surrender that heart and let Him mold it, cleanse it, purify it continually? It begins by being conscious that He's looking, that He sees all, that He's present. He's always with us. Are you also content with His praise? Or is the motivation of our life to seek the praise of men? The Lord is talking about that in his sermon because he has the Pharisees right in his sights. And then are you also controlled by his priority? They tell me they're working on the Hubble telescope and all of the amazing apparatus that was that great tool to look out into space and study the expanse above us. But one thing was wrong. The lens was dirty. Something as simple as that. But something just as critical. So when they were able to clean the lens, you see better. And that's the way it is. A pure heart. Not a perfect heart in the sense, and we'll look at that more later, but a pure heart can see God. Do you see him? Is there one today and you know your heart is not right with God? You've never been born again. You've never been buried with Christ in a watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. You want to do that today. Maybe there's one today and you want to come and repent of sin. You want to be cleansed anew. While we stand, while we sing, Brother Frank.
All to Jesus I surrender.